God has a desired destination for each of His children for every season of life. How can we begin to explore what He has in store for us? Today, discover how to walk in God's very best and receive His very best for us. Stay tuned and be encouraged to press in by Pastor Paul.
Last week, we talked about receiving God's best. God has His very best for us. And today, we'll continue along those lines as well. And I'll recap. I was thinking about the Memorial Day and all that. And I was thinking about Jesus Christ talked about the fact that in John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And if you think about the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for us to make it possible for us to come into his family, we should lay down our lives as well for others. There's no Christianity without sacrifice. There's sacrifice in Christianity. Jesus Christ sacrificed, and we also sacrifice as well. Sometimes it may involve the sacrifice of our time, of concern for others, of our finances. Sometimes we may be inconvenience of prayer, praying on our knees. Lord, praying for our nation, praying for our neighbors, praying for our co-workers. Lay your life down for somebody. That's the essence of Christianity. Greater love does no man than to lay down his life for his friends. So I pray that we will live a life of sacrifice, laying our lives every day for God, for his kingdom, and for others as well. Amen. All right, that's a full sermon right there. All right, but we were talking last week. We looked at John chapter 6, and we looked at the young man that brought his food to Jesus Christ. Again, it was a sacrifice that he did, and when Jesus took it, he prayed over it. He gave thanks to God for it. He multiplied it, and he used it to feed multitudes. He used it to feed so many people. And it all started with one person. And we're talking about the fact that so many times we'll say, I'm just one person. Why would my little investment of time, my finances, and all these things that I do for others, what difference would it make? And we talked about the fact that when we yield our lives to God, when we yield what we have to God, it's a whole different story. God told Moses, "What do you have in your hands?" He said, "A rod." And that rod, he said, was good enough. Let's work with that rod. It will do something good. And so let's not despise the things, the gifts, the talents that God has placed in our life. That's the key to receiving God's best. When we make a decision to yield our lives to God, then we are entering into a place where God can give us his very best as well. He's already given us his very best, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "How will he not in addition to him freely give us all things?" But we also have to get to the place where we say, "Lord, our lives are in your hands. Our lives are yielded to you. Everything that we have, our very lives are totally yielded to you." And when we do that, good things start happening. Amen. And I pray that that will be your testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's go a step further here in our lesson this morning and look at it from another angle. And we thank God for all the wonderful testimonies that are coming in. It's such a joy to hear those testimonies coming in. It's all the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And your testimony is next, as you are faithfully serving God and obeying him. I said your testimony is next. I said your testimony is next. I said your testimony is next. You're not excited about that. I said your testimony is next. I said your testimony is next. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Mama, I'm blessed already. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Glory be to the name of the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He says, "Now, In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, this is a very important story. Jesus is what comes to the disciples. Now, the prayer verses tell us what had happened. Jesus has dismissed the multitude and the disciples as well, and then he went away to pray. And then, if you do the calculations of how long he prayed about 6 hours. And so when he comes back to them, it's the fourth watch of the night, and the fourth watch of the night is between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And so when he comes to them, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. And so many times when you look at the apostles who were with Jesus, we tend to place them on a certain pedestal. Like, they are out there and we are down here. But if you were in the boat at that time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and you saw somebody walking on the water, your reaction would be the same. It won't be any different. Number one, you've never heard or seen anybody walk on water before. And number two, it's that time of the morning. Your first reaction is, they said it's a ghost. Who is out here this time? But anyway, I thought I'd throw that in. I won't charge you anything for that. That's just extra. But the point is, we are just like those people. But anyway, Jesus comes and he spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And that's very significant. Every time God comes to you, every time Jesus appeared to somebody in the Bible, angels came around, they will always come, they will never come with a message of fear. God never comes with a message of fear. He always comes with a message, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." You do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. So every time you have an experience, a dream, or a visitation, God will never visit you with fear. Settle that. He will never visit you with fear. And I pray this morning, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what you may be faced with, in the name of Jesus, my prayer is, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Jesus is coming to you. Amen. All right. And then Peter, I like Peter because always he was the first to stand up. And Peter answered, verse 28, answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He steps out and says, "Jesus, if it is you, let me come." And so he said, "Come." And Peter steps out on the word of Jesus. Just one word, "come," he steps out and then begins to go towards Jesus. And so many times we criticize Peter for sinking, but you cannot criticize Peter for sinking, because even if he took one step, that's a miracle, because the Bible says he walked on the water. He says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't criticize the other person till you've done more than he's done. Whether you criticize Peter or not, the fact is, he walked on the water. He was bold enough to start out on the word of God, which was, "Come." But verse 30 says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. You see, so many times we start out on the word of Jesus, and people that obey the Lord Jesus and stand on his word, I call them water walkers. You start out obeying the word of God. You start out doing the word of God, but then you start looking around at the natural circumstances. He started out on that word, and so long as he was walking on the word of Jesus, he was doing all right. But he says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. So the first step is he saw, and then he entered into fear. Jesus didn't plan that he will start walking on the water and sink. Remember, we are talking about God's receiving God's best. God's best, and the best that God, Jesus, had for him was that he will walk on the water, get to him, and then they all come back together. But he missed out on the best that God had for him. And it was through, Jesus Christ later told him, in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So he tells you why he failed. You see, little faith gets little result. I'll say that again. Little faith gets little results, but it's better than nothing. And then the thing that prevented him from receiving God's best was, number one, he saw. He looked at the circumstance from a natural standpoint. Number two, he became afraid. And number three, he doubted. And if you look in your own life, those are some of the major things that hinder us from receiving God's very best. In the natural, we don't like to be robbed. I don't like to be robbed. And I don't think anybody likes to be robbed, even from a natural standpoint. How much more from a spiritual standpoint for you to be robbed of God's best? But the good news is, when he cried out, Jesus pulled him out. If he had said any more words, he would have sunk. But knowing Peter, he was a good fisherman, he probably would have done something about it. But he pulled him out. Thanks be to God, Jesus always pulls us out. But you see, I mean, in life, we get confronted by so many things. We have tests, we have trials, we have tribulations, we have so many things that we go through. And the thing that defeats us is when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we take our eyes off his word and start looking at the natural circumstances. What are we going to do? What's going to happen to me? How am I going to deal with this? So long as you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus and on his word, you will do well. I said you will do well. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's no use hiding behind Peter, his failure. Let's just face up to it and say, we'll do a little better than he did. But here, one individual was robbed of God's very best due to fear, due to looking around at the natural circumstance, and then also due to doubting. Now, let's take it a step further here and look at a whole community that was also robbed. Put this together with Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. I'm taking my time here because this is so important. We'll come back to Peter there, but I want us to look at something here as well. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, he says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judah, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, notice this phrase. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is Matthew's account. I like Mark's account a little better as well. Again, notice Mark chapter 6 from verse 1 to 5. He says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Now, these people, this is a whole town that missed out on receiving God's best. And what was the issue here? Number one, they said, we know his brother, we know his sister, we know his mother, we know his father. They became familiar with Jesus Christ to the extent that they were prevented from receiving from him. We know him. Just a few days ago, he was working with his father in the carpentry business. I remember this chair. He's the one that made it for me. And all of a sudden, he's a prophet. Does he think he is a prophet? Where did he come from? Became familiar with him, so they didn't receive from his ministry. And the Bible says, it's interesting, Jesus did so many miracles in other places. Mighty miracles were done. But right here in his own hometown, the Bible says, verse 5 says, now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. The Greek literally says, he laid his hands on a few sick folk with minor ailments. There wasn't much wrong with them. And this Jesus. Sometimes we think, if God wants to do anything, he can do it. That's not fully correct. Jesus, he has the power and the ability. He's in his hometown. And the Bible says, these are very strong words. He says, now he could do no mighty work there. He couldn't. No mighty work. When somebody who has been blind from birth, their eyes are open, that's no mean work. That's a mighty work. When somebody who has never walked before walks, that's a mighty work. When somebody who is deaf hears, that's a mighty work. When somebody who has never spoken before begins to speak, that's a mighty work. But here he says he couldn't. He could not do it. Except he laid his hands on a few sick people with minor ailments. There wasn't much wrong with them. Why? Because of their unbelief. Unbelief robbed a whole town of God's very best. That means in his hometown, there were blind people that could have been healed. There were deaf people that could have been healed. There were people who had never spoken before that could have been healed. But because of their unbelief, they were wrong. You see, unbelief will rob us of God's very best. You see, there are two kinds of unbelief. Sometimes you know it, but you say, I won't believe it. I won't believe it. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that in this season, you will not be robbed of God's best in the mighty name of Jesus. It's good to read the Bible like, because sometimes you just think that Jesus went around and just was healing everybody that he met. No, it doesn't work that way. No. No, no, no. What is he going to do about their unbelief? The cure is the word of God. So then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He's got to cure the unbelief with teaching the word of God. And then they can be delivered. Glory be to the name of the Lord. But the point here is, a whole town, Jesus, think about it. He's in his hometown, and the whole town was robbed of receiving God's very best because of unbelief. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may you not be robbed of God's very best for your life in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's so important. And unbelief. I mean, do you remember the children of Israel when they set out to go to the promised land? And in Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 13, they were sent out to spy out the land. They came with an evil report. And out of that whole generation, the people said, the people are too strong for us. We are not going to be able to possess the land. Caleb and Joshua said, no, let's not talk that way. We serve a big God. We can possess the land. But because of the company that we were in, the Bible talks about the fact that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. That generation, everybody that was 20 years and under had to perish. For 40 years in the wilderness, they didn't enter in because of the unbelief. But Joshua and Caleb, the people who were believing, were delayed from entering there because of the other people. So it's so important to watch the company as well. Sometimes the company that you are in can feed you with unbelief and set you back in your journey of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it's so important to realize that. And then There is another instance as well that we have to look at. So we look at Peter. He was robbed of God's best. A whole town was also robbed of God's best. Then now look at the disciples as a whole. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. It says, look at this account as well. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, again, this is very important. Now, a man brings his son who has been suffering from epilepsy and suffering severely and brings him to the disciples to do something about the situation. And if you put this together with the account in Mark chapter 9, Jesus had gone to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. It seemed that those people formed an inner circle around Jesus. Now they went to the mountain, and on their way back, they encountered this situation. Now they come and these people are battling and they are trying to deal with this demon that is tormenting this child. And so far they've not been successful. And Jesus says, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you?" He's expressing a little bit of his frustration. You know why? Because in the same Matthew chapter 10, go to Matthew chapter 10. I'm taking my time because these things are very important. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Notice, he says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Then he talks about the names of the 12 apostles. But notice he says, he gave them power over unclean spirits, except for the one that they faced. All the 9 disciples that were out there, including Judas, had the power to deal with the situation. And to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. All the 9, they had the power. Jesus said, I gave it to you. Chapter 10 comes before 17. How many of us realize that? They had the power. They had the ability to do it. Why didn't they do it? Why did they fail? Jesus, again, he comes down and is like, in our words, if we were repeating it, it would be like, what? What's going on here? I thought I gave you the power. What are you doing? But notice again, verse 20, Matthew 17, 20, he says, because of your unbelief. His best that he had for those disciples was for them to be able to deal with that situation. But they failed. And the reason is, he says, because of their unbelief. Number one, privately, they asked Jesus, why could we not cast it out? Number one, what you have to realize is, the man wouldn't bring the child to those disciples if he wasn't sure that the disciples could do something. Right. You wouldn't take your car to a mechanic if you are not sure he's not going to do a good job. Maybe in days past, he may not have done a good job. But you take your car to a mechanic because you believe that he's going to do something about it. So they wouldn't ask the question, why could we not do it if they had not been doing it before? Why did it not work this time? We ask ourselves that question. Why is my faith not working this time? What is going on here? Why is my faith not working? The answer is the same, because of your unbelief. Unbelief robbed the disciples of the best that God, that Jesus had for them. And again, we look at them and we're like, why? They failed. I'll never fail. Like Peter, I'll never fail. But we do the same thing. He's given us the authority in his name. He's given us the power. He's given us his name. He's given us all, the Bible says, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Why could we not do it? Why did it fail? And these are questions that we have to ask ourselves. You see, so many times, the circumstances of life, the things that we go through in life, they stare at us in the face, and it almost seems like defeat. But if we make a decision and a choice to go back to the Word of God, we will always find answers to be able to walk in victory. And so my prayer is that may we not be robbed. Again, one time, again, Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 8, let's go to the other side. And then he went to sleep. I like Jesus. He just says it and then he goes to sleep. He says that he believes that we are going to the other side. Then they run into a storm. And then they come and wake him up and ask him, don't you care? We ask those questions. Jesus, don't you care about what I'm going through? Don't you care about what I'm going through? He cares. He cares. He cares. He cares. He cares. But he wakes up and he's like, why did you doubt? It's amazing to him. I said we were going to the other side. We ran into this little storm and then you are doubting. I didn't say we are going halfway and we will sink. I said, let's go to the other side. The other side is where we are going. That is our destination. Oh, you may start out on God's word. You may run into difficulties. You may run into a storm. But so long as Jesus is in your boat, so long as his word is in your heart and is in your mouth and coming out, I see somebody going to the other side. I see somebody coming out with a testimony. I see somebody coming out with a testimony. I see somebody coming out with a testimony. Because Jesus is in your boat. Because you are keeping your eyes on the word of God and you refuse to take your eyes off God's word. You are coming out on the other side. You will not go under for going over with Jesus. I'll repeat that again. I like that statement. You are not going under for going over with Jesus. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ is in your boat. Oh, call on him and speak to that storm and say, peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. Oh, this morning, oh, I speak peace into the troubled areas of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I speak peace. I said 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 I speak peace. Thank you, Father. You see, doubt is a thief of God's greater blessing. And the thing is that when you doubt or when you do not believe, when you enter into unbelief, you are believing something different than what Jesus said. If you see, so many times we run into people that say, I don't believe in God. You believe in something. It's just that you believe the wrong thing. You believe the wrong thing. You believe that you are going under. That is why you speak and keep talking that you are going under. You believe that you are not going to make it. That is why you keep saying, I'm not going to make it. You believe, I mean, even when you doubt, if you believe something, it's just that you are abusing your ability to believe in the wrong direction. Switch it and put it in forward gear. Don't put your belief in reverse. Put it in a forward motion, forward drive, and go the right way. Yeah. Now, you see, to Jesus, a storm is nothing. Sickness is nothing. Lack is nothing. Those things don't mean anything to him. I mean, you think about it. He fed about close to 3 million people in the wilderness every day, with manna for 40 years. And that is how much he cared about them. In the wilderness, you're not going to be able to farm. He took care of them. And sometimes, and in the wilderness, it gets so hot that he said, okay, what is what I'm going to do? During the day, I'm just going to let the cloud cover you and keep you cool. And then at night, when it gets hot, I'm going to let the fire come up and warm you up. All these people, think about it. That is the kind of God that you serve.
Amen.
Don't God is not God is not nervous. Look at this instance here. I don't know if you've seen this scripture before. Let's go to thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to, you are talking about entering God's best. Notice something here in 2 Kings. Thank you, Father. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. I'll show us something here. Thank you, Lord. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Notice something here. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of the Israelites answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the Lord, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Jump with me to verse 15. He says, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of dishes. For thus says the Lord, notice this phrase, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Verse 18 says, and this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Verse 20 says, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. They have run into a situation here where they are facing an enemy and they need water. And I like what Jehoshaphat said. He says, I mean, they asked him, is there a prophet here? And the servant of the king answered, verse 11, and says, Elijah, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. It would be like someone is asking for you in this community, and I pray. He wasn't identified with his anointing, but he was identified with his service. Amen. To the man of God. And I pray that our lives will be identified with our service. Amen. Amen. Our service to God. Service to you see, when you are serving God, serving his ministers, God sees that you are serving him. But the key is, was identified with his service, not with his anointing. And I pray that we will be identified with our service to God as well. This is somebody that loves God and serves God and serves in his house. But he's saying that he comes to Elisha. And then another thing that he did was bring me a musician. Bring me a minstrel. Bring me somebody to sing. You see, music is very important. It enhances the anointing. That's why the music that we listen to is very important. In our day-to-day life, very important. One time, the Bible says when Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit, David played the instrument, and the evil spirit left him. See, music, it depends on the spirit behind the music. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. But anyway, I thought I would throw that in as well. I won't charge you extra for that. Anyway, it's all free. But anyway, he says, bring me a musician. When he played, the anointing came on him. And then he says, thus says the Lord, that the miracle is here. There will be no wind, no rain. No wind, no rain. You'll be saying that all day. No wind, no rain. No wind, no rain. No wind, no rain. No wind, no rain. In the natural, for you to see water, you have to have rain. That is the natural occurrence. Oh, sometimes the circumstance that you are faced with, oh, has no natural solution, has no way that you will come out. Oh, but God says, even though there is no wind, no rain, there is nothing in the natural that says that you will come out of this circumstance, but you are not serving an ordinary God. You are not serving an ordinary person. We are talking about the Most High God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, God that created everything, the world and everything in it. He's the one that we are talking about. Yeah.
Oh, and so this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, no matter what you may be faced with, I have come to announce to you by the word of God that even though there is no rain, even though there is no wind, oh, I can assure you by the word of God that God hasn't forgotten you and God hasn't forgotten how to perform miracles. And in the mighty name of Jesus, he will show up in your life and do the impossible. The Bible says I like verse 18. He said, this is a simple matter. In the sight of the Lord, he will also deliver the Moabite into your hand. This is a simple matter. This is a simple matter. Let that be your phrase on your mouth this week. This is a simple matter. If you run into difficulties at any point in your day, just say this is a simple matter. Nothing is impossible with our God. This is a simple matter. You see, the difficulty is on our side. It's not on God's side. This is easy. This is a simple matter. And I've come to repeat the same thing to you this morning, that what you are faced with is a simple matter. I said it's a simple matter. The healing of your body is a simple matter. Oh, the calming of the storm in your life is a simple matter. The salvation of your children is a simple matter. Your business coming back alive is a simple matter. Oh, you giving birth to children is a simple matter. Oh, nothing is too hard for God. It's a simple matter. Say it with me this morning. It's a simple matter. Oh, repeat it like you believe it. It's a simple matter. Repeat it loudly. It's a simple matter. Oh, repeat it one more time. It's a simple matter. It is a simple matter. It's a simple matter. Oh, glory be to the name of they got up and the land was filled with water. No wind, no rain. No wind, no rain. No wind, no rain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let me wrap up with this. How do I receive God's best? How do I receive God's best? Number one, you must be hungry for God's best. You must be hungry for God's best. Lord, I am not settling for anything below your very best. I'm not settling for anything below your very best in any area of my life. And number two, constantly resist doubt because it's coming. Resist doubt in your life. Resist fear in your life. Doubt, I resist you. Fear, I resist you. I will not allow you to overwhelm me. Talk to the fear. Talk to the doubt. And number three, keep your eyes on the word of God. Keep your eyes on the word of God. Keep your eyes on the word of God. And don't despise what you have. Somebody recently testified. He said, I was dealing with nightmares, and I was dealing with surges of fear. But as I began to come to church, all those, the nightmares have ceased, and the fears have left my life. The suicidal tendencies, all that has left my life. It makes a difference. All she had was that. But keep your eyes on the word of God. Don't doubt the integrity of the word of God, and he will come through for you.
We pray this message has encouraged you to reach for God's best. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.